Welcome everyone to our morning worship service here at Beach Hill. If you're visiting with us, we want you to always know that you're our guest here. We hope that you can come back at any and every opportunity that you may have. We'll be meeting here again this evening at 6 for Sunday evening worship service, and again at 7 for midweek Bible study. Please pay close attention to the board up here. There's a lot of useful information there. Much of that I will not go over, but I've got quite a few announcements this morning. I'd like to remind Dustin McMillan, Tommy Simpson, and Adam Grady that you will have a part in this evening's worship service. And expressions of sympathy to the family of Landreth and Margaret Murphy of Myrtle, Enterprise area, whose funeral was yesterday afternoon, and he lived in Ripley for many years prior to moving to Enterprise. So let's remember this family in our prayers. Our gospel meeting will be September the 12th, one day only gospel meeting with Brother B.J. Clark. He will be here for three services that day. Let us make our plans for that to support it in any way that we can. Don Paul Hobson, who was recently underwent tests, let's remember him in our prayers. Don Moody, who continues to improve at home. And also Vicki Weatherly, who is at home now, but who is also involved in dialysis. And she goes to New Albany for that. And let's remember her in our prayers as well. We're happy to say that Emma Orman, daughter of Blake and Laura, who is also improving at this time. Katie Jones from Sladen, who is Tony's classmate. She's still recovering from COVID. She's on the ventilator. Let's continue to remember her. And also Penny Simpson tested positive. So let's remember her in our prayers. Randy Grisham, who's in the med, very serious condition. Let's continue to remember him and his family in our prayers. And also there is an announcement concerning signing some get well cards to be sent to him. So let's bring those in tonight if we can do that. Let's also remember the ones on the Gulf Coast that are being affected by the hurricane that's coming in. I just was made aware just a few minutes ago that Mike Griffin had been called to go down there to help with these efforts. And we know that there are many that will be in harm's way. And as we have said many times, that it also affects the church in South Mississippi and Louisiana and other places. And so let's remember those congregations that are already struggling from past hurricanes and also from COVID and other things. Let's remember them in our prayers. I got an email from Brother Paul Key. The work that goes on in Cameroon was very successful and it continues. There's still issues going on there that they're dealing with daily, but we are thankful that he's there. We're thankful that he's remained well during this time. We're thankful that the school that they've been involved in, the Bible school that they've been involved with, has been very well received, more so than he anticipated. So the work continues there. So let's remember them in our prayers. And also I was made aware this morning, just as Bible study ended, one of the Chapman twins, I do not have this man's name, and it's a Barrett Chapman's grandson, has also been called to Kabul, and he's there in a very dangerous situation, aiding in the rescue efforts that are going on there. So let's remember him, not only him, but all of our armed services that are in very stressful situations around the world at this time. Let's remember them in our prayers. I know that's a lot to take in, but this morning, Kelly Ward will be reading from God's Word. Michael Dees will have the opening prayer. Ryan Simpson will have the closing prayer. And join in with our worship service. And Dustin McMillan will be leading us in our singing.
We'll turn to number 141. We'll sing all three verses, number 141.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Some before the scripture reading and prayer this morning have been number 177. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse of number 177.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. He wills that I should wholly be in word and thought. Indeed, then I when from his earth life free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know place prepared for me. A home, a house not made with hands, most wonderful to see. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives.
This morning, I'll be taking the reading from John 15, verses 18 through 25. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words that I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason.
You bow with me as we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Your gracious and blessed Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for this great day that we have and freedom to be able to assemble and be able to sing praises unto you and be able to study thy word and without fear and molestation. We pray, Lord, that you will be with the leaders of our country and the ones that protect us from these evils. We pray that you will give them the wisdom and the power and the strength to where we can continue this good life. We pray for the ones that are in foreign lands and the ones that are missionaries, especially Brother Paul Keyes. And we pray that we will be able to help them in the ways, both spiritually and financially, to continue these works, that they may spread thy word throughout this land and others. Lord, we know that in our congregation here, we have many that are sick. We pray that you will be able to give them the strength to be able to return and be worshiping with us soon. We especially pray for Brother Randy Grissom, and may you be with his family. Be with him and be able to give him the hope of you returning with us soon. We want to, Lord, please be with the ones they're in harm's way of the hurricane in our state and Louisiana also, and be with our church members and the ones that are first responders and the ones that are be in the middle of this. Please protect them and may they not be in harm. Lord, we come to you thanking you for your Son, the greatest gift that you give us each and every day with the hope of eternal life. We thank you so much for this. We pray that we will be able to let our Christian light shine each and every day that others may see this great gift. Lord, sometimes we fail thee. We pray at this time that you will forgive us and cleanse of our sins. Please be with us throughout this day and on through future life. And when time is no more, please give us a home in heaven with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Song before the lesson this morning will be number 515. Sing all three verses, number 515.
God sent his only Son from realms of light above to fill our lives with peace and show us his great love. Oh, do you love the Lord? Oh, do you love the Lord? Then serve.
Dustin, thank you. And to open your New Testaments to Peter's first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, if you're looking at the Bible, and you may follow that on the screen too. 1 Peter chapter 1. We were glad to hear the report concerning Paul Key and the work in Cameroon in which we are involved, very much so. And we continue to pray for him. We also received a report from Ted Lindgren, a brief update report in which he tells us just a few days ago about the establishment of a new congregation in the country of Laos. Some of the good workers there that have been reached through that work in which we're also a part, they have gone out to a location near the border with Vietnam and preached the gospel and baptized 10 people into Christ. Ted sent a picture of those 10 people, four men and six ladies baptized into Christ, and a new congregation has begun, and efforts will be made to continue to teach them and to help them be established and strong in the faith. That's a hallmark of the work that's done by Brother Lindgren and his co-workers through the years, and we're thankful to be a part also of that work and many other good works around the world. And it's good for us to think about those things, pray about them, focus our attention on who we are and the privileges that are ours in serving God and the good works that we can help support for the good of many people around the world. Now, the salutation of Peter's first letter, that's the first two verses, a word of greeting, is an affirmation of truths that Christians should find helpful in dealing with challenges of various kinds. Too often, these opening words of New Testament letters are read too quickly, but in the light of what follows in this letter, you go back and read those opening verses and you appreciate them even more. Because Peter speaks of Christians as the elect, that is, they're God's chosen people. And he discusses in this letter how that came to pass, how they came to be God's chosen people. And they're sojourners or strangers, says the King James Version, means that they're pilgrims in this world, and that we don't look upon this world as a place where we're going to make a permanent home. However established we may be in our place in this life, it's just for a limited time. And we are sojourners. We're God's pilgrims in this world. That has an influence on how we think and live, what we do with this life that God has given us, especially the life we have in Christ. He tells us the location of these people, and he speaks about how they are in connection with what God has done, the Holy Spirit has done, Christ has done, what God and Christ, the Holy Spirit, continue to do. These are the vital connections in their lives, the things of utmost importance. How impressive that is to affirm these truths at the beginning of this letter, to tell us who we are and what we're about, and then to say a word of such goodwill, grace to you and peace be multiplied. That's a comforting word to receive as Christians. It's a word that ought to mean a lot to us, especially in troubling times, that here is God's goodwill expressed to us. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. That's not just from a man to these other people, our brethren of a former time. That's God's word. That's God speaking to his people today. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. That's what God wants for your life, in my life, for this congregation, for all of us who are his people. These truths receive further emphasis and explanation in this letter. So when you read these opening verses, that ought to be an encouragement to you to look further into it. How does God express these truths to us? What do these truths mean? He amplifies that in what follows in the letter. And furthermore, he applies these truths to the lives of Christians and to the church. We live, as if you need anybody to tell you this, but we want to acknowledge it now because of its pertinence. We live in a time of much agitation and instability and uncertainty. We're not accustomed to that, but that's the recognition of the nature of the times in which we live. The young people of this day and those who are younger, boys and girls, are having experiences that we knew nothing about when we were growing up. The world has changed greatly. This society has changed. It presents special challenges for parents and grandparents, and helping those who are young, the challenges we meet ourselves as older people in this time. To say this is speak about spiritual matters, and that's where our concern is. It has nothing to do with a political statement or a statement about the economy or about anything else of that nature on which the world may be focusing. We're speaking about spiritual things. That's where our focus is. It's where it always has been and will remain, and what we say through our preaching and teaching. Early Christians were acquainted with such conditions. They lived in them. They lived through them. I'll say more about that in time to come in future lessons, the Lord willing, because I think we need to be aware of that, that what we're experiencing now, it seems new to us, was something that our brothers and sisters in Christ were well trained in former times. And this first letter of Peter shows us that. It's only one place in the Bible that shows us their knowledge of these experiences. Through the Apostle Peter, the Lord has given a message. He had something to say to his people in those conditions of life. And it is a blessing that he did for us too. Because here's a word that will guide and counsel us as the elect, God's chosen people, living in such times. In these opening verses of the letter, and I'm expanding that now to include all of the first chapter and the first 10 verses of chapter 2, Peter is presenting a spiritual foundation for our lives and for our life together. Did you know that sometimes in your Bible, if it's set up this way, I'm not sure what format your Bible has or what translation you may be reading, but in many Bibles, there is an indication where a break in the thought occurs, and some translations and some printings of Bibles will show this by a space there. My translation comes to the end of verse 10 in chapter 2, and then there's a space there. No words, an empty space. And then verse 11 follows. And this happens many times in the American Standard Version and in other translations of the Bible. Why is that there? Why is there a space? To indicate that there is at this point the end of a section of the letter, and a new section follows. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the first 10 verses of chapter 2 are a section of the letter. Peter is laying down a foundation in those verses, 35 verses all together. After that, he's going to apply that teaching to various situations in life for individual Christians, for families, and for congregations. That's very useful to see that. You could discover it no matter what translation you're reading, no matter how your Bible's formatted, just through the study. But to have that set before you in such a way as that simplifies the matter, and you can see that there is there a division or a sectioning of the letter. Now, I hope that that's not just wasted words to you. That's one of the things that is helpful in Bible study that we're grateful for, just like chapter divisions, verse divisions, helps us to locate something in the Bible, remember where it's at. So I wanted you to be aware of that, and I mention it because it's important for our study this morning. This study is based upon that first section of the letter. Peter's here giving a spiritual foundation for our lives as God's elect, the chosen people, and for our life together as the house of God or the church. He speaks of it as God's spiritual house. Now, what is characteristic of this spiritual foundation? Let me tell you some things about it and why it's important before we look at some of the elements of this spiritual foundation. It is entirely from God, this spiritual foundation. And somebody may say, well, why is that important? Because it's important to us as Christians. It has no human source to it. And so we're thankful that in this world in which human things are constantly changing, in which they appear and then pass away, and in which we have uncertainty about whether or not they can be trusted, that here we have from God a spiritual foundation from life that has no human source, no worldly source. It's all from God. That gives us confidence. We can trust it entirely. Second, it cannot be destroyed. When you hear the things we're going to see that are elements of this foundation, keep that in mind. These things cannot be touched. There is no human power or human institution that can do any damage to this spiritual foundation or any part of it. Third, it is the truth of what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ and revealed through the Holy Spirit. How can human powers and human institutions do anything to harm that? They cannot. They can't touch it. It's beyond their reach. Fourth, it is the influence and fruit of that truth in the lives of his people. If we take these elements of this foundation into our lives, if we build our life upon this foundation, we remain true to it and trust in God who's given this foundation, then we have the security that belongs to the foundation itself, because it's the truth of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. That's untouchable by anything that's hostile toward it. And we want to partake of that security, and we can do so, as Peter affirms in this letter, and as he says about those who are the elect and God's sojourners. And then next, this foundation, this spiritual foundation, is the great power of the present. I know there are other powers in this world, and they are of various kinds. But I know this from the Bible, that the great power in the world right now is what you and I are talking about and studying this morning. There's nothing more powerful than what God has given us in this spiritual foundation of truth for our lives and for the church. It is not only the great power of the present, it is the great power of the future. Human powers come and go. The Bible reflects that all through Old and New Testament. Powers that once were major influences, chief characters in the world, men who strode about in the ancient world and destroyed kingdoms. Where is all of that? It's all gone. But the power of God is still operative through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the great power of the present and of the future, and it is the only power that will endure forever. All other powers will pass away. And it is on this spiritual foundation of truth that you and I may stand and stand together in faith in God, in love for one another, and in faithful service for Jesus Christ. Now, when you appreciate these facts about this spiritual foundation, then you will not want to base your life on anything else. This is where God has given you and me to stand. As Peter will stand, say at the end of this letter, what I've been talking about in this letter is the true grace of God. Stand fast in this. So here's where you and I will find our confidence. And this is why God can say to us, grace to you and peace be multiplied. You stand on this foundation, and that grace and that peace, both from God, are yours. Now, in this section of the letter, chapter 1, verses 3 through chapter 2, verse 10, this section right after the word of greeting, we find out what these truths are that are the elements of this spiritual foundation. And they are truths about what God has done for us, for his people. They tell us about our blessings, things that we have received and experienced, and their potential for good in our lives. Now, you can make a list of this by studying this section yourself with that question in mind. What are these things that you and I have received from God? But I want you to think about this. Why does Peter take that approach in this opening section of the letter? It seems that he wanted to give strong encouragement to God's people in this world. Well, that's right. That's obvious. If we just read the letter and say, what is Peter about here? What is he wanting me to understand? Why is he saying these things? You would get the impression, first of all, well, he wants me to be encouraged. He wants me to be strengthened in my confidence, to have comfort. He wants me to know about how God loves me and wants me to have grace and multiplied peace and living before him as one of his chosen people. Well, you'd be right in coming to that impression in the reading of this section of the letter. So what are these elements of this spiritual foundation God has given us for life? Well, first of all, chapter 1, verse 3, we've been begotten again by God's mercy toward us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The hope that we have in life as God's people is because Jesus arose from the dead. And we have a hope that reaches beyond this life and into eternity, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away. And you add to that a second truth that is connected with it, who by the power of God are guarded through faith to a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Over in chapter 5 and verse 6, Peter said, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety or care upon him." Why? Because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. And here is that care for his people expressed when Peter says, God is guarding you. He wants you to get to the place and the day of enjoying his inheritance that is ready to be revealed in the last time. He guards you through your faith, that as you trust in him, base your life on faith in him, walk with him, trust in him completely. You see how Peter is encouraging us to understand that the faith we have is of great value, our trust in God and Christ. You see how he is drawing our eyes toward the word and toward God, the speaker of that word, and away from the things of this world that nobody should give his life to. Nobody should give himself an absolute trust to the wisdom of man and the influences of this world. But we do belong to God, his elect, his chosen people. Body, soul, and spirit. We ought to be thankful every day for that. And so we are sojourners in this world. We're moving toward a place and a time, an inheritance, and God is watching over us. He is guarding us. And another part of this foundation for our life, another truth, as he says in the very next verse, we've been made to suffer all kinds of trials. Word suffer here, grief, sorrows, difficulties. How can that be something that's a blessing in our experience? We receive these things. How could that be a truth and the foundation that gives us confidence? Because of what Peter says in connection with it. Your faith is being tested. Because of who you are, there is the proof of your faith that's taking place as you continue to trust in God. And that will have results that go beyond description, to the praise and glory and honor of God at the revelation of Jesus Christ and to the receiving of our inheritance. So even these experiences in life that are very hard, that bring suffering, are experiences that we can endure because of our relationship with God through Jesus. As we trust in God, God is at work, guarding us, helping us, and it will lead to good things. Because God's cares for our lives, these sufferings do not end in just more suffering. They lead to good things, to our spiritual growth, and many other good things. And then he says of these people that they have been blessed because they heard the preaching of the gospel. Notice that in verse 12. That there were those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven. And prophets had prophesied that day, and you have been blessed to receive the fulfillment of that. And then in verse 25, he said, this is the word of the gospel, that is the good news that's been preached to you. So we weren't left in darkness about these things that God was doing. God wanted us to know about it, what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. And so we count it a great blessing that God made these things known to us through the proclamation of the gospel, that we might be his people. Furthermore, we were called, verse 15 of chapter 1, like as he who called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The holy God called us. Now, you may have received some important phone calls in life or messages, however you get them. You may have received some messages and calls from some very important people in this world. But all of us receive this call who belong to God. God called us. Can you top that? Anything more important than that? Any message you ever received in this life more important than that, that God called you? That's what Peter's saying here. Our problem sometimes and the recognition of the power of these truths is we don't pause to think about it, the significance of what the Bible is saying to us. God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, called me. He called you. And you responded to that. And that's why you're one of his elect, one of his chosen people in this world. He cares about your life. He's guarding you to an inheritance. As you respond to him in faith, his power is guarding you. He wants you to make it there and rejoice in that day. And furthermore, he says, you were redeemed, verse 18. We were in trouble. And we would still be in trouble if it were not for the fact that God so loved us. He gave the one foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world by his precious blood, we could be redeemed, delivered from that trouble. We were begotten again, not only to a living hope, verse 3, but we were begotten again by the word of God, verses 23 through 25, the end of this chapter. Isn't it sad that people might minimize the significance of hearing or reading or studying the scriptures? When there are statements like this about the power of God's word in the lives of his people, that it had the power by an incorruptible seed to give them new life and make them God's people, begotten again by a living and abiding word, the word of God, the word of the gospel, he says. And therefore, he says in chapter 2, verse 3, we tasted that the Lord is gracious. We experience this truth through these blessings. The Lord is gracious to his people. He is so good to us. And the more we study that and think about that, we have to agree with Peter. You're right, Peter. The Lord is gracious to his people. And what great comfort and encouragement that gives to us. And then verse 5 of chapter 2, he's brought us together. He has built us up to be a spiritual house. Men have built many kingdoms and empires in this world, and men have aspired to the power in those kingdoms in this world and in small kingdoms, smaller than nations. It's amazing how power can be the ambition of some people, even if it's just power over two or three people in a work situation or somewhere else in life. They can dominate other people. And what a blessing it is to know that God has delivered us into something that is entirely different, made us his people, and made us together a spiritual house. It does not partake of the character of this world and the ambitions of men, are all the sins and the corrupting influences of men, but his spiritual house, that together there we may be a holy priesthood and offer up spiritual sacrifices. This is speaking about the greatness of the church and what it means to be the church. And then we were called out of darkness into God's marvelous light, chapter 2 and verse 9. You thought about the significance of that blessing, that in this world there are many people sadly going through life in darkness about God, about his purpose, about his love for them, about what he would do for their lives and bless them. And therefore, again, one of the reasons that it's a great privilege God has given you and me to be an influence to help people here and throughout the world to know what we've come to know through the gospel. God has called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light. And then he's made us to be his people. In time past, chapter 2, verse 10, we were no people, but we're now the people of God. Oh, you may have been related to nearly everybody in this congregation, but without the gospel, you would not be God's people. You might be family, but you would be a family in darkness and in the lostness of this world without the gospel. The people he's talking about here is the church. He made us to be the church, to be his people through the gospel. And then the last blessing that he mentions in this section, that's a truth, that's a part of this spiritual foundation. It's right there at the end of chapter 2, verse 10. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. I know that in the world today in which there's so much social interaction and efforts to be congratulatory and to be a good influence and so forth, that there's the desire to blur such distinctions. But the Bible cannot be accused of that. You have either obtained this mercy or you haven't. Would that all men would come to know this mercy of God and receive it as a blessing. But Peter could say to these readers, you in the past didn't have this mercy, but you do now. What a great blessing, beyond price. It's a part of the foundation for our lives. 12 truths. We need to learn these truths. I know they're in the Bible. We can read through them, but we need to do a little bit more of what I've tried to do this morning and study them and meditate on them individually. What has God done for me and offers to the world through Jesus Christ and revealed by the Holy Spirit? Meditate on these truths. Let them strengthen us in our lives as Christians and in our life together as the church. Let them comfort us in these times that are troubling. Let them encourage us in living the Christian life and advancing the work of the Lord. Let them have an influence in our hearts to move us closer to God and closer to one another. It's the truth that can do that. There are many influences in the world that are quite vocal right now that have a tendency toward causing division. But the truths of the gospel will move us where we ought to be, near to God and near to God together. Notice that this section that we've looked at begins by mentioning mercy, chapter 1, verse 3, and it ends by mentioning God's mercy in chapter 2 and verse 10. All these blessings that are at the foundation of our lives as Christians and at the church, we have because of the mercy of God. That says to me, and it would say to anybody that's looking at that and thinking about it, that there's a need for us to appreciate the mercy of God, to understand it, be thankful for it, and give praise to God that he's merciful. Do you know the mercy of God? I know that's a personal question. But I read the Bible personally, and I know you do too. You know that God is speaking to you through the scriptures. How have you responded to the fact that God is merciful? Have you obtained his mercy? The gospel invitation is God's call to you to come to him who gave his son for your sins and raised him from the dead that you might have hope, to believe in him, to turn to God in repentance, confess his son before others, and be baptized into Christ. God may remove your sins, is that not mercy? And establish you as one of his children in Christ, is that not mercy? God's offer of mercy is coming to you through the gospel, and we sing that word of invitation in his service as we now stand.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to its brink. 'Tis a fountain of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Be seated, please. Focus our hearts and minds on the cross and the sacrifice given there. We'll sing number 226. Sing all three verses, number 226.
Why did the Savior heaven leave and come to earth below, where men his grace would not receive, because he loves me so? He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I to die for me, because he loves me so. Why did the Savior bark the way, and why temptation know? Why teach and toil and plead and pray? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so.
Just a few simple thoughts before we partake the Lord's Supper this morning. We have this time set aside in our worship to remember, to reflect Jesus Christ, Him crucified for us. As Christians, we have all stood up, confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We know that He came to this earth, suffered, bled, and died for our sins. At this time, we have a opportunity to reflect, to examine ourselves, and to focus on the cross and Him, that perfect sacrifice, who so willingly gave Himself for us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we are so blessed. We are so thankful. We are so thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. At this time, we pray that You would bless this bread, which represents Jesus' body on that cross. We pray that we will all examine ourselves and take this in a pleasing manner to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's pray again. Dear Lord, as we continue in this time of remembrance, we pray that You would bless this fruit of the vine, which represents Jesus' blood shed on that cross. We pray that we will continue to remember His sacrifice and take this pleasing to You. In Christ's name, amen. Pray again. Dear Lord, we are so thankful to have our freedom, our health, to live in this country. We know we have problems. We are also very blessed. We thank You for the opportunities we have every day. At this time, we have an opportunity to give back to You as You have blessed us. We pray that this funds will be used in Your church to spread Your word, to gain souls in heaven someday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Again, we'd like to thank you for being here with us, especially those of you that are visiting, those of you that may be on Zoom. We'll meet here again tonight at 6 o'clock for our Sunday evening worship. Our closing song this morning will be number 251. If you would, please stand. Also, like to thank King for the lesson this morning. We'll sing the first verse, number 251.
Whatever you do, it word or deed, do all. Do not in name of man or creed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in His name, do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord.
Let's pray.
Father, we're thankful for this day we've had, for the privilege of being here. We've assembled in our Bible classes and we're taught. We pray that we listened well and that we assemble together as a congregation to give you worship. We pray that we've given you our best today, the best of our focus and concern. Our hearts were open to receive your word. And also, we express songs this morning of your love, great love for us. And we pray that we've been a reflection of that love back to you and honoring you with these songs and words from our hearts, praising your name, and giving thanks for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for the lesson that was preached and the challenges given to us to be people that stand strong in the face of trials, and good and bad times come to our homes and to wherever we are, that we'll always be faithful and be strong. There are so many people that we love and care about who are not with us. They're very sick, and some we're very concerned about. We pray for their health, for improvement, if it's in your will. There are those that are at home because of COVID and quarantine and other reasons, and we pray that these barriers will be removed soon. We'll all be together in a whole one day. We know better days are to come. Our faith is in you and your promises through your Son, Jesus. We're so thankful for your great love for us, as we've said. Be with us as we leave this place to be strong, be confident, and to be faithful. And return us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.